Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, the Keystone Sports app. Keystone Sports Network now available on Spotify as well. Dustin Hockensmith, Greg Pickle here. Todd Sadowski walking through the door just in time to sit down and talk Penn State and Michigan State. We're here in the Labatt Blue studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Penn State a 28-7 winner over Michigan State. It's an 8-0 football team that now is ranked number 5 in the country. We'll break down that game coming up here. We'll also hear from James Franklin after this game. Some interesting things he had to say after the game was over. Said he was emotional afterwards. They've got a bye now before a big matchup coming up with Minnesota, who also has a bye this coming week. So it'll be a fun day out in Minneapolis. It always is, right, Greg? So
always, nothing quite like Detroit, a rainy Detroit though.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah,
it's gorgeous.
Rainy Detroit.
My wife
rainy.
And I considered honeymooning there in October.
You probably were between that and East Lansing because both are beautiful places in the rain. James Franklin probably thought so after Penn
sometimes
State.
Sometimes you just wish you didn't have to choose, but you do. So we got a 28-7 win here. Weather conditions made things interesting, to say the least. I think earlier in the game, it was a little cleaner in all facets than later. But you were down on the field. Can you just share, you know, how much you could appreciate how crappy it was down there? I think people watching on TV could see, but what was it like?
I mean,
down
it
there?
Was horrible. I stayed in the tunnel because I just had no interest in going out into that disaster that was Spartan Stadium. I mean, it was a puddling mud mess. And it was raining almost so hard that it was raining sideways. So I just think that for Penn State to get through that game and get, you know, come out with a victory, a pretty decisive one at that, is important. It's yet another way this team's found a way to win. You know, they've won close. They've won in blowouts. They've got up and had to protect a lead late. They've got up and had to coast a victory. They've got up and, you know, they've won in a bunch of different ways on the road, at home, ranked teams, unranked teams, FCS teams. I think all that's important because if you want to go to the heights they want to go to, a college football playoff, a Big Ten title, what have you, you better be able to be versatile when it comes time to put the chips on the table and try and get a victory against some of these programs, especially ones that they have not really had great success against in the past. So all told, it was horrible, and as miserable as it, you know, you can tell on TV when guys look miserable in their rain suits or basically don't look like they're working. That's it. It wasn't an exaggeration to say that.
And you don't base it off what Mark D'Antonio looks like, because he's always
he always looks that way. Yeah,
but especially in this one, he looked like a prisoner who was forced to take yard time out, yeah, out in the rain with that hat on and stuff.
Yeah.
Because going back to Michigan and then in this Michigan State game, they didn't have a lot of punch to close the game out, but I think and drops in this game as well. But I think the weather gives some important context on why everybody was struggling with that. So with that in mind, how do you view this game, Todd, in terms of it being – obviously, it's a win. It's a team that the last 2 years was a heavy underdog against you, took care of business against you, probably has stuck with James Franklin big time coming into this game. You go out there, you beat a team. I know Michigan State's struggling, but all the different things, the adverse conditions, as Greg mentioned, Penn State has found ways to win in all types of games, and I think that's going to carry with them.
Well, first of all, I don't think it bothered Sean Clifford. He threw the ball pretty well. So the weather, you know, you took those shots of the crowd of the two people up in the top of the stands, and you could see it was really the only visual that you got on television, just how hard it was raining and how miserable those conditions were. So it was impressive what Sean Clifford did, but guys, I'm going to go there right away. First off, raise your right hand if you thought they would win go 2-1 the last 3 weeks would be pretty good, right? For Penn State, when you had at Iowa, home against Michigan, at Michigan State, that would have been great. But guess where I'm going? Over a year ago, late September, what did Coach Franklin say after the Ohio State loss? Great is no longer what we're about. We're done being comfortable with being great. We're going to do the things that great programs do to get elite. And that's what I think they've been trying to work on. And those are the kinds of games they just won. They just won all the things that you guys have been discussing that you needed to do to get to that level, to be 8-0. And look, that's what's tripped him up, right? The last few years. And we talk about Dabo Swinney and Clemson, and remember Clemsoning and all those types of things. There's a certain thing that has to happen for a program to learn to win some of the games, to build the right kind of roster, to battle attrition, to battle injuries when you get to that third week of three physical games, to have enough guys. Look, Jason Oway would start, right, on just about any team in the country, and here he is pursuing a team that you've made one-dimensional. They can't run the ball on you. It's third and 10. Bam, he beats the left tackle late in the game, strip sack, takes their heart right away if they had any chance of coming back in that game. Those are the things this team is doing this year.
Better built for it, I would agree. And I think we'll hear from James Franklin just in terms of rotating players and what that does in the short term in the context of one game from quarter one to quarter four. Also, over the course of a season, what it does for you too. And always a good example of that. You know, Penn State rotates without a lot of discrimination, without a lot of determination, you know, what the key spot is in the game. Third and 10, who cares? Marquise Wilson's in there. So that's what they've been doing, and I think that, to your point, that speaks to it. I think, in general, I sort of roll my eyes when James Franklin gets into the 1-0, 1-0, 1-0 stuff. I just it feels cliche to me. But this game, this three-game stretch, too, embodied what 1-0 each week meant. You just have to find a way to get it done. And sometimes you don't know until you're in that position. Penn State maybe hadn't been in that position, maybe hadn't been equipped to knock off this Michigan State team who you just know doesn't go away. And this one, they made him go away.
They did make him go away. And I think the whole one, and you know, there was a point in time when you could roll your eyes at it. And you still can probably do that. I'm sure some fans do, and some of the media still do, certainly. But, you know, it works. And it that's really the main takeaway for me at this point, is that it works for these kids in the locker room. It works for the coaches. And if that's what they're going to do, then that's what they're going to do. And that's how they're going to look at things. So, to me, I think it's more about, you know, a realization at this point that their process is part of the reason of why they're 8-0, why they're able to get young guys on the field and not see any drop off. I mean, honestly, if they took the numbers off the guys, you wouldn't have known whether it was John Reed, Trent Gordon, Marquise Wilson, or Keaton Ellis on the field. You just wouldn't have. And that secondary is going to be tested in a big way against Minnesota in 2 weeks. So I think it was good, you know, obviously not good that anyone got hurt, but good that you were able to get those guys into another test situation that's not, you know, Idaho or Buffalo. It's a legitimate Big Ten opponent, even though Brian Lewerke wasn't, you know, his typical find a way to play his best game ever against Penn State self.
And look, the 1-0 to me is a reminder that we're game planning each opponent is really what you're doing. And that's, you know, it's not, we're just rolling out the same guys, the same system. The four running backs is a reminder of that. Noah Kane fit in this particular environment to be the starter, to get those first carries, to see how the game went as they do their four-back rotation. Journey Brown has been starting. Michigan was a matchup where you needed to hit big plays. Maybe they felt Journey Brown was a guy, if they give him enough space, he's got that sprinter speed, is going to hit big plays against a high-risk, high-reward defense. Michigan State plays a little bit more assignment defense, so we're going to need those 3-4 yards in bad environments. So the 1-0 to me means they're game planning that opponent, concentrate on that opponent, do your job for that particular game so we can come away with a W. And it doesn't hurt, guys, that they're jumping on top of teams. They're not allowing points defensively against anyone. So you get in front, especially on the road, especially against a team with Lewerke, who's as poor a passer as he's been, especially the other day. That's all working to their advantage to continue to win games and now be 8-0.
Penn State 8-0, they go into their bye week. They got a big trip coming November 9th at Minnesota, an unbeaten Minnesota team. And back home November 16th and November 30th, Indiana and Rutgers, two more opportunities to use the services of GoPSURV.com, the ultimate tailgating experience, a whole weekend of just never having to stop. That's the best way to put it. You show up on Friday, you leave on Sunday, you can tailgate the entire time. You get a ride to and from the stadium. There's food and drink on premises from 409 Tailgate Club. There's just not a lot of stuff you got to worry about, and big screen TV, which I think is an awesome feature as well on these football Saturdays. So check them out, gopsurv.com, November 16th and November 30th, two more chances, home weekends in Happy Valley. this defense, now that you mentioned, you know, not giving up points, and I think part of that is the Penn State offense coming out strong too, again in this game, some good slick game calling in the early going by Ricky Ronnie. But this defense, the most dominant group on the field once again, I think you can probably say that in it all, if not probably all the games that Penn State has played. 2.7 yards per rush, 4.2 yards per pass attempt. You know, that is a number that I circle. 5 out of 7 on third down, and just not for nothing, they average 31 yards per punt. So you could just to give you some context on what wasn't working for Michigan State, and it was pretty much all of it. But I think Penn State's defense deserves some credit for sure in this one, and they threw a lot of bodies again at Michigan State, and Michigan State just didn't have much of an answer for it.
Yeah, what was it? 3 turnovers, 4 turnovers. Penn State, you know, obviously won that battle significantly. And when you're able to do that, it keeps the time. So I know that time of possession is kind of like an old-timey, no one cares about that anymore. But simply put, Penn State won it this week, and the defense was only on the field for 28 minutes. So, I mean, it were on the field for 74 plays, but it certainly didn't feel like that many. Not comparatively when you talk about Michigan and 80.
Here's where I would say time of possession means something. When your opponent wants it. Yeah. And they don't get it.
Yeah.
That means something. Not, I don't think Penn State really wants it. They don't really care about that so much. I think explosive plays and being able to put up points quickly is more of a priority. But if you're going to win the time of possession battle against Michigan State, that's a good day for you. That's a good indicator. There's a lot of good indicators here. Part of it, though, and I got to ask about Michigan State just as we wrap this segment. Where are things going with Mark D'Antonio and these guys? Because you have guys going in the transfer portal. You had some off-season stuff. You've got really an unimaginative approach on offense. They're always going to be who they are on defense, but sitting at 4-4 with not a lot of promise to get a lot better from my vantage point, where's Michigan State going?
It's surprising to see because, look, this is a guy who's been beating Michigan on the recruiting trail for a decade, right? I mean, he came in and made Michigan a little bit less relevant with his success, and it looks like he's being dragged kicking and screaming into a more modern system. You know, they said, look, your offense is antiquated a little bit. You got to jazz it up. So what did he do? He didn't bring in anybody new. He just shuffled the current staff and gave them different responsibilities. So in some ways, D'Antonio is getting what he deserves in the sense that he didn't foresee this happening. And the other part of it is get another quarterback. I mean, Lewerke was okay a couple of years ago. But where's the competition at quarterback? They tried three guys.
We saw it.
That's right. We saw three guys the other day, and it didn't seem like they have their guy ready to replace him.
When it comes to just the big picture, you as a college football coach, from year to year, you're only as good as the guys you hire. You know, Urban Meyer at Ohio State, I would say, is a good one because he had assistants leaving all the time. The next assistant up, to bring that continuity, you got to make sure your staff is intact. I'm not sure if Michigan State's is. Still, take nothing away. Penn State, 28-7. We're not done talking about this game. We're going to take a quick break, come back, talk some more.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.